Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Jennifer Cult with Humboldt Baykeeper. The Eco News Report is brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. Today, my guests are Sabelle Immett, planner with the Humboldt County Public Works Department, and Tracy Cattleman, who is a registered professional forester with Forever Green Forestry, and they are here to talk about community preparedness for wildfire for Humboldt County. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Really glad to be here.
So, of course, fires are on a lot of our minds right now. And so, Tracy, why don't you just give a little context to why it's so appropriate that we're having this conversation today?
Thanks, Jen. So with the fires down south, I'm sure a lot of us have been thinking about, you know, what would we do in the same situation? How would we be prepared? I live in Eureka on the edge of a greenbelt with Martin Slough, and we have a lot of vegetation, redwood trees growing up in our neighborhood. And I've been looking around, even though I work on this and I've been preparing my home and have tree climbers limbing my trees and all that, we can talk more about later. I've been thinking this week, what would I do if I had 20 minutes notice to get out of my house? And it's a major reality check, I think, for all of us in terms of how prepared we are and the reality that things are changing. This could happen here. We, with climate change, with, we can talk a little bit later, but basically historical changes in climate in addition to what we call climate change and the increase in fuels and fires. Wildfire is a reality here in Humboldt County, like it's going to be in many places. I have a big old burnt redwood snag right in my backyard to prove it. So it's interesting timing for us because Sabelle and I, with the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council, have been working on updating the Humboldt County Wildfire Protection Plan, and we're working right now on what our action plan is. And so this is great timing for us to all be really thinking about what it is we're going to do if and when that fire comes.
Yeah, it is really good timing. And, you know, anybody who is familiar with the northern Santa Rosa neighborhood where the fire jumped Highway 101 never really thought of that as part of the wildland-urban interface, mm-hmm. but you see lots of open space and oak woodlands, beautiful oak woodlands in the mm-hmm. state park right near Santa Rosa there. And, you know, it just makes you realize if it can happen there, it can happen in pretty much any community in California.
Right, and we've been thinking about that a lot lately as all of our resources head down south to help with that situation. And then we've been having red flag warnings up here. It's a little bit stressful for those of us who are working with people to get prepared and working with the firefighters. I've been hearing a lot of stories from some of our local fire chiefs about how worried they are with that perfect storm opportunity when we've got these winds and heat after a long dry summer and a lot of our resources are out of the area. CAL FIRE is often covered by local volunteer fire department resources at their stations when they're gone. They're well trained, but it's not quite the same as CAL FIRE. And a lot of those air resources that put that fire out really quickly that we just had near Blue Lake are out of town. So a day later could have made a huge difference with that fire in Blue Lake, because that's when things blew up down south and those helicopters and airplanes were then busy a lot further away. So it could have been a much more of a destructive fire for that neighborhood. That's what we're worried about. That's what we want people to be prepared for.
And so just as a reminder to our listeners, red flag warning is when there's high fire danger because of weather, right?
It's because there's high temperatures, low relative humidity, and high winds.
Right.
And so, that's, you know, the perfect storm. And we had that. We were close to that, if y'all remember, about a month ago, or maybe it was a little further back, when we had that smoky time when the fires were happening up on the Klamath and the Salmon, and it was hot in Eureka. It was hot and dry, and that the vegetation around here, you know, we had a lot of rain this winter, but still things can dry out so quickly. I remember at the beginning, I think it was May this year, we had had rain, and a day or two later, there was a 50-acre grass fire down on the ocean near Lolita. Is that things dry out really fast here, and people don't think we can have fire here in Humboldt or certainly around Humboldt Bay. And remember, Brookings was threatened by fire not long ago. They're even further north than us. And one of the biggest interface fires in the history of Humboldt County happened, the Lufenholz fire happened in West Haven in the 60s in December. So it can happen here. It's just that wrong combination of factors. And those, unfortunately, we're going to be seeing more and more of that with the changing climate.
Yeah, as you were mentioning about the fire scars on old redwood trees, you know, every time I go up to Prairie Creek State mm-hmm. Park, I look at those old growth redwood trees with massive fire scars. And, you know, you just think, well, that has happened and will mm-hmm. happen again.
That's a good segue into some of what we've been talking about with the Fire Safe Council about trying to prepare our communities to kind of coexist within an environment that has historically had a lot more wildfire on it. And part of the reason we're in this situation, a lot of people believe, is because we've been so great at suppressing fire for so long. We have so many fuels, and then we have a lot of interface communities and dwellings that aren't necessarily prepared to be able to kind of coexist in that environment, which is where we would like people to be heading towards.
So, Sibel, why don't you tell us a little bit of background about the Fire Safe Council?
Sure. Yeah. So the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors created the Fire Safe Council in 2002. And it was actually born somewhat out of the general plan update process. There was a whole scoping period of community meetings to prepare for the general plan way back then. What they were hearing over and over at those meetings was that people were concerned about wildfire and that there were a lot of local fire departments that were struggling to survive. So there was some funding to help develop our first community wildfire protection plan. Now the Fire Safe Council still exists. It's been reappointed. The membership has changed over the years. We have representation from our agency partners as advisors, the U.S. Forest Service, Six Rivers National Forest, CAL FIRE, Humboldt Del Norte Unit, Office of Emergency Services, the Humboldt County Fire Chiefs Association. We have a representative from each of the local fire safe councils that work in Humboldt County, from Orleans to Southern Humboldt to the Lower Mattole Watershed, at the Van Dusen Watershed. And those folks get together quarterly and either are providing guidance to the update of the plan or providing guidance to projects that represent implementation of the wildfire plan. And so there's been a variety of projects that they've been involved with. And right now we're tapping into their expertise to make sure that the current iteration of this plan is up to date with all of the latest science. And it also represents their various viewpoints because it's a diverse group. You know, some of them are much, much more interested in fire adapted communities and bringing that wildfire environment, human coexistence balance back. Others are just by virtue of the work that they do, they are trained and what they do every day is try to put fires out. So there's some rich conversations that group has. And then I think the overall outcome is very balanced and positive.
Well, and there's so many different layers to community preparedness for wildfire, right? There's prescribed burning to keep the fuels down, which has been really difficult after 100 years of fire suppression. But people seem to be making some decent headway in certain communities after really decades of working towards these goals. But then there's also preparing your own home for the event of a wildfire coming close to your home.
Right. Yeah, we kind of think of it as from the house out into the wildlands. So starting with your actual structure and then your whole family preparedness to evacuate if you need to, and then right around your home and in your yard and along your roads and access points, and then those more large landscape level fuels reduction projects and prescribed fire can then make it possible for us to be a lot safer.
So I've been fascinated to look at some of the photos coming out of Santa Rosa, and there's a picture that I was sharing on Facebook of Arby's, McDonald's, and Applebee's burnt to a crisp to the ground, surrounded by concrete and young green trees. And so why did those structures burn down and not the vegetation around them? And I was actually talking with Will Harling yesterday from up in Orleans, and he said, you know, I suspect that it was their air conditioning units were just pumping away, sucking in air, and they just pulled the embers right in. And so this ties back to what Sibel was talking about, what we call hardened homes and how to prepare your home. And so starting there and the importance of that every opening on your home, every vent, every crawl space, every, you know, your chimney, every opening is covered with 1/8 to 1/4 inch mesh. Mm-hmm. So that keeps embers from coming out because what happens in these wind-driven events, it's going to just blow stuff in. And especially in the attic, firefighters know if a fire gets started in your roof, forget it. They generally, really, they can't save your house or a structure then.
Right. So there's information that those houses were basically burning from the inside out, and that's why it looked the way it did. Because embers were getting in there.
Down in Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. right, because it was hot, so everybody had their air conditioning units cranking, and it just...
Or a vent. It just could go.
Yeah,
that was such a high wind that any little opening, it would just
so it's those little
out.
Things like that. So starting there, making sure Yana here with UC Extension has done a lot of research on why homes burn, and talking about also not having vegetation right under your vent openings and right under the roof, the importance of cleaning out your gutters. I was on my roof yesterday, and, you know, this with all of us who live around the redwoods this time of year, it's like they're just raining leaves down on us. But what we've seen in research is that a house with a clean roof, if they send fire at it in these, you know, in these experimental trials, it won't burn. But if there are leaves in the gutter, that's enough for a spark, an ember to land and get under that roof cover and, again, ignite the roof. So it's these little details. And then that first 5 feet from your house out, there should be nothing at all flammable in that first 5 feet. And this is what I'd been thinking this week, you know, with the, I was saying that 20 minutes notice. Okay, I have patio furniture. I have a potting bench. I have a dog bed. I have a broom, all the stuff right around my house. And I've always assumed that I'd have at least an hour, you know, and that then I would pull all that stuff, throw it in the garage, whatever. But with 20 minutes, that's not real. You know, that's not going to happen. So I'm really looking at my house differently again this week. And it's like, how do we make sure there's nothing flammable within that 5 feet? I remember the Cedar Fire, a house down in San Diego was lost because somebody left a broom leaning against the house. And that took the whole house. So it's these really little details. So one of the things we're going to be talking about as we're outreaching in the community in these workshop series that Sabelle's going to talk about here shortly for our process is what you do to prepare your homes. And I've done hundreds of these meetings now around California, Oregon, down into Chile. And it's all about changing your perspective. It's all about, you know, giving people the sense to look at your home with a different perspective. Like I tell people, if it was a windy day and I was walking around your house throwing matches, would you be okay? And that's really the perspective you need to think about when we're talking about wind-driven wildfire events. And then from there out to your defensible space, make sure your firewood, your propane, nothing is within 30 feet of your house ever. And then, you know, the law is 100-foot of defensible space. So keep it lean, clean, and green, as CAL FIRE mm-hmm. says, within that 100 feet. And if you live on a slope, then you may want even further downhill from that. That doesn't mean cutting down all the trees, taking all the vegetation, because then you open it up for heat and more vegetation to come up. But it's about taking out the ladder fuels, the things that will allow fire that might be on the ground to literally climb up into the trees and into your home.
I'm trying to think about my house, which is in McKinleyville. You know, it's not a place where I would even really think about having to be prepared for wildfire. But like I said, after seeing what happened in Santa Rosa, I feel like that I need to think about that now.
Good. Mm-hmm.
So where can people go for more information? And by the way, we'll have all these links on the KHSU archives with the Eco News report that people can link to more information so you don't have to try and write it down while you're driving your car or anything like that. But there's tons of great information out there.
So the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council does have a website, and there is information about the Fire Safe Council and various resources and publications that the Fire Safe Council has collaborated on the development of. We also just recently have a Facebook page, so people could find that just by looking for Humboldt County Fire Safe Council on Facebook and doing a search. And soon we'll have a lot more information on the Facebook page about this upcoming series of workshops associated with updating our fire plan. The Living with Wildfire in Northwestern California magazine is a really great resource. Often at these community workshops, we'd have lots and lots of flyers and different kinds of educational brochures. And that magazine really pulls everything together. We collaborated on that with the U.S. Forest Service, Six Rivers National Forest, and CAL FIRE, as well as members of the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council. It is just jam-packed with information. We think of it as a resource document, so it's not something that someone would want to try to sit down and read all at once, but it has all the information that you would need to know, plus a lot of links to other organizations and agencies that provide additional or similar information, like Ready, Set, Go, Ready for Wildfire with CAL FIRE is also a really good site for finding out more information about how to be prepared. And then the Humboldt County Office of Emergency Services webpage has a lot of information, and they also have a Facebook page, and they are really publicizing right now that people need to be signing up for the Humboldt Alert program. I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about that also. That's really important for people to register for that, because it is an opt-in program. So just do a search on the website, Humboldt Alert, and it'll take you to where you need to go to sign up for that program. And then you'll get an alert when there's a earthquake, wildfire, tsunami, hazardous situation of any kind that is going to be impacting your area. It can be divided up by zip code and different areas of the county.
Right. And it's really important to note that if you signed up for this some time ago, you need to sign up again because the system wasn't working very well. So they instituted a new system this summer, the Humboldt County Alert System, and it only carried over landlines from the old system. And since so many people don't have landlines anymore, it's really important to sign up for that. You can add information as well, like if you have skills, like medical skills that could come in handy if there was an emergency, or if you have pets that need evacuating, you can put that information into the alert system, and then you can get info by text, email, telephone, you know, landline. So really important to go sign up for that Humboldt Alert. And we'll have that online too. Just search Humboldt County Alert and you'll get right to it. There's also a phone app that you can download.
And with the alert, it's geographical based. So, you know, you have your cell phone, you put in your address where you live so that they know that that's where they need to notify you if there's a fire or whatever's happening. And some people in the county don't want the government, whoever it is they're concerned about, to have their address. And what somebody told me recently was, you know, you could even add a number to your address or something to use your neighbor's address or add a 0.5 or whatever you want to do to make you feel more comfortable, but just so they can get within a block maybe of where you live so that you can be notified.
Right, your and information. Your cell phone number too will be able to follow where you are.
And you may want to put in the address of your children's daycare or school or that kind of thing too.
Good point.
So if you're just joining us, this is the EcoNews Report, and we're talking about community preparedness for wildfire in Humboldt County with Tracy Cattleman and Sibel Immitt. And we're going to talk about some upcoming workshops. There's going to be community workshops all over the county starting up soon. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, where, when, how to find more info, and what you're going to be presenting at these workshops.
All right. So Humboldt County in our fire plan is divided up into 14 planning compartments. So within each of those compartments, and it's sort of loosely based on watershed planning areas and communities that sort of have an orientation towards each other and fire protection district boundaries. So we tried to throw all those into the mix and come up with sort of a logical way to split the county up into units of planning. So our first workshop is going to be in the Neyland Maple Creek unit, and the Neyland Fire Protection District is going to be hosting that on Thursday, October 26th. That's an evening meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. Then after that, we're going to have 13 more of these workshops between now and the beginning of December. And the schedule for this is posted on the Humboldt County website. Like you said, that's going to be posted on your site, but you can also just Google Humboldt County Fire Safe Council and you'll be able to find it. It'll be the first thing that comes up. And then there's a very clear information about how to get to the schedule for the workshops. Each workshop.
And it'll also be on Facebook.
Yep, it'll be on Facebook. We're going to be talking about it on various other radio programs and sending out a news release. Hopefully this afternoon we'll sort of kick off our media outreach for it. So hopefully people will start seeing something more about these workshops in our local media sources. Anyone who wants more information can get in touch with me, Sibel, at the county. I'm the staff support person for the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council. You can either give me a call at 707-267-9542 or send me an email at cimmitt@co.humboldt.ca.us. And with many other things, you can also just Google Sibel Immitt, Humboldt County, and you'll probably get me. All my contact information is on the website, so I'm pretty easy to get in touch with. These workshops are intended to provide information and then to also gather information. So we will start off with sharing information similar to what Tracy was just talking about. We'll be giving out the Living with Fire magazine and other resources. We'll be giving out information about Humboldt Alert. There's a lot of workshops, so we're trying to get all of our partners there to every single one. So ideally, we want to have local fire department representation. If there's a local Fire Safe Council, they'll be involved in hosting that workshop. If there's a local Fire Wise community, community, they will be involved. CAL FIRE, we'd like for them to be at every single meeting. They're a little busy right now, so things might have to change a little bit. They would be giving their Ready, Set, Go message, which is very similar to what we have in our Living with Wildfire magazine. Also, just giving the message of what community members can help those firefighters do to do their job better. If you're prepared, then they are able to focus more of their attention on managing the wildfire. Then we want to collect information from the community members who do participate in these workshops on what their top concerns are, what's on their mind when wildfire comes into the conversation, and also very specific information that we're going to be drawing on maps. We're going to be reviewing what we've heard from the community in the past meetings over the years about wildfire concerns, where they would really like to see the hazardous vegetation reduced. Fuels reduction is what it's called. Wildfire fuels, flammable vegetation reduced, and where they know there are more than one way in and out of a neighborhood or a road. We have a lot of community members in Humboldt County that live up dead-end roads. There'll sometimes be 20 or more residences up a dead-end road, so they need to know what their plan is if the fire starts below them on that road and they don't have a way to get out, either another way to get out or a safety zone, large area that they can take shelter in if there's a wildfire. So we were actually going to be marking a lot of that on maps, large water sources that firefighters can use for fighting fire, whole variety of things. This is a very detailed mapping exercise that Tracy Cattleman, our contractor, sort of developed.
Came out of the Matole. That was a process that started in the Matole and is now literally all over the world. I think a lot of people right now, fire is definitely on people's minds. There are a lot of conversations happening all over the county about it. And I suspect there are people that have ideas or thinking about, oh, well, if it happened here, I think we should do this or I think we should do that. This is the opportunity to come talk to us about that. We're writing the plan right now for how does Humboldt County prepare for wildfire. Every county to the south of us is on fire. The counties to the north of us have been on fire. To the east of us have been on fire. Fire's going to come here. How do we prepare for wildfire? I was just talking out here with KHSU about communications. How do we make sure that we can actually get information to share with people here in the county and get information in and out? What happens when all the cell lines go out? When somebody was telling me yesterday that up in Orleans this summer, it was really smoky. The sat phones didn't work. It was too much smoke. So how do we think about this stuff now and be as prepared as possible for when that happens? So this, as Sibel said, this is a give and take. This is us sharing the best information we have, what science tells us we need to do to protect our homes and our neighborhoods, our families, our communities from wildfire, to coexist with fire. And also we want to hear from folks that live around Humboldt County what they want and what they think we should be doing in Humboldt County. This is the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, there's so many different things to talk about, from emergency planning. You know, where is your family going to meet up if the cell phone towers are all down and, you know, you don't know where everyone is, and so many different things. There's also the environmental impacts of the wildfires, the use of the flame retardant that's going on in the millions of gallons in Sonoma, Napa, and Lake and Mendocino County. Millions of gallons of this stuff, which, you know, is really helpful to stop the spread of the fire, but it's got known impacts on aquatic species. It's phosphorus, so it, you know, speeds the growth of algae and stuff in creeks. Having the type of long-term preparedness where we're actually doing the controlled burning that needs to be done rather than waiting till it's an emergency disaster situation is really important for the environment as well. And, you know, it's, if with the general plan update process seemingly coming to its final conclusion next week, the Board of Supervisors is set to vote on the final environmental impact report for the general plan update, which started, I believe, in 1999 on Tuesday, the 24th, next Tuesday. There's a lot to be said for not splitting up and developing lots of large rural residential areas in high fire severity areas like has been done. But in a lot of cases, it's been done, and we just need to be prepared, not necessarily wait for someone to come help you, because that's not likely to happen, especially if you have 20 minutes to get out of your house. You're not waiting for the fire engine to come.
Right. And there is a lot that people can do on their own. And I think that there's a lot of things that are difficult for people to do that might be expensive, but there are a lot of things that they can do on their own. And we really want to encourage people to do that and also to prepare for that situation where they may be on their own, because all the firefighting resources are so busy just on life safety or trying to put the fire out that they have prepared. Because there's a lot of work that the Fire Safe Council and other fire safe councils and agencies are doing. There's a lot more prescribed fire than there has been in the past. There's more support for it from CAL FIRE than we've ever had before. They're learning so much. They're teaching so much about prescribed fire through the prescribed fire training exchange programs that people may have heard about with the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council. Now, RUC Extension, I think, is the only one that has a fire advisor position. And Lania Quinn-Davidson, she does a lot of education about prescribed fire. She's actually extending that down into the Southern Humboldt area, where it hasn't been historically used as much as it has in the Klamath. We'd love to see a lot more of that. There's other collaborative projects and larger scale fuels reduction projects that are happening, but really those are also just sort of like scraping just the very tip of the iceberg, because there's just so much, and it's vegetation. It grows back. So we have to come up with a larger scale sort of management plan combined with people doing what they can do on their own or around their own homesteads. So if all of that all came together at once and was a system that we could maintain, I think that we could potentially someday reach a point where we were able to kind of coexist in this environment.
Well, one thing that's really important for people to remember is that once people have moved into these areas, it's really important that they not try to fight prescribed burning efforts. An old former housemate of mine who lives in Santa Rosa told me that they used to do a lot of prescribed burning in Annandale State Park, just east of Santa Rosa. A lot of rural residential estates went in around there, and 20 years ago or so, people just fought the prescribed burning because they didn't want to have to deal with the smoke. And so it just hasn't been done in decades. And so it's really, really important for people to remember dealing with the short-term prescribed fire smoke is really important for you to tolerate, not just for, you know, future safety, preventing wildfires. It's really good for the environment. It's much better than having, you know, entire neighborhoods go up in smoke, obviously, is much more toxic.
Or watersheds.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, we have to learn how to coexist with fire here, because it's a natural driving force in the ecosystems here. And Carl Skinner, who probably a lot of EcoNews listeners and readers are familiar with, a Forest Service researcher, his research is showing that, you know, we're just coming out of a 100-year very wet period tied with 100 years of fire suppression. And if you're looking back on geologic time, they've been doing some fascinating research recently where they just showed that in 2015 was the driest year in 1,000 years in the Sierra Nevada. I mean, they're looking at all this very interesting data. And basically, fire is part of the system here. I know just a little bit further south of us, when I was doing my graduate research, 10 to 12 years was the natural fire cycle. That's how often fire would come through. High severity fire is actually a natural part of our systems. And looking at the mosaic maps of some of the recent fires and seeing there's just these little patches of high severity fires tend to be higher up in the watershed. But we're getting some good mosaics up in the Klamath, and really the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council, the Karuk Tribe, those folks are really leading the way. And with their Western Klamath Restoration
Partnership,
WKRP, I mean, they literally are leading the way, not only here in Humboldt, but statewide, and I would say internationally, in terms of how do we learn as humans to get back into a cycle with fire and with nature and coexist, because it's coming. And so if we don't learn to do that, we're going to be dealing with what's happening down south.
Right. Well, the fear of fire, especially wildfire, is so ingrained in us, and we definitely need to unlearn some of that and realize fire is also a really important tool that humans have used for centuries. But I mean, I fear that after what has happened this summer and this past week, you know, there's just a lot more fear-based pushback on prescribed burning, because people are afraid it's going to get out of control, and pointing the finger at who's to blame for these fires, when the reality is it's pretty much inevitable when you have this type of situation with the east winds and the low relative humidity and a very rainy winter that created a lot of fuels. A lot of grass fires can happen. So we just need to accept the reality, I'm afraid. So I want to also give a plug for the fact that you'll be on Thursday Night Talk tonight as well. So there'll be a full hour from 7 to 8 o'clock tonight.
With Yana Valakovic,
yes,
with UC Extension.
And that'll be a call-in show, mm-hmm. right? So people who are interested in hearing more about this will be a full hour of discussion. You can call in with questions. And there are so many workshops coming up from Willow Creek, West Haven Trinidad, Southern Humboldt, Redwood Creek, Warwick, the Yurok Reservation, Lower Eel Van Dusen River, on and on. There's also a Humboldt Bay region mm-hmm. workshop on Saturday, November 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. You know, this is really important for people to attend. It's at the D Street Neighborhood Center in Arcata. Just really start thinking about how to respond in an emergency, how to live with fire, and how we can prepare our homes.
We're going to have a survey on the Humboldt County website any day now.
The Open Humboldt?
Open Humboldt. People can just go up, do a Google search for Open Humboldt, and it's going to be about wildfire in Humboldt County and what people's perceptions are, concerns are, how prepared they are. So we would love to hear mm-hmm. from people all over the county, whether you live in the middle of Eureka Arcata and think it would never happen to you, or if you're way out in the hills, you know, the house that was near that fire in Blue Lake. We want to hear from everybody. What do you think about it? This Community Wildfire Protection Plan is for the community. So the more we hear from the community, the better the plan will be.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Hola. Estamos preparando el plan comunitario para la prevención de incendios forestales para el condado de Humboldt. Ahora este invierno y ahora empezando al fin de octubre hasta la primera semana de diciembre, tenemos 14 talleres para la comunidad en digamos, 14 diferentes unidades del condado, empezando el jueves 27 de octubre en Neyland Maple Creek. Y después tenemos el Klamath, Redwood Park, Avenue of the Giants, Willow Creek, Southern Humboldt, West Haven, Trinidad, Redwood Creek, acá en la Bahía de Humboldt, el Eel Van Dusen, Matol, Mad Van Dusen, lo de Yurok, y terminando en Jupa el 7 de diciembre. Están todos invitados. Hay más información en el sitio de web del Condado de Humboldt, del Humboldt County Fire Safe Council, que uno puede googlearlo para encontrar más información, o también en Facebook, Humboldt County Fire Safe Council. Gracias.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Jennifer Cault with Humboldt Baykeeper, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Sabelle Emmett of Humboldt County Public Works and Tracy Cattleman of Forever Green Forestry. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the KHSU archives at khsu.org. And now we're podcasting, so you can subscribe at iTunes. The EcoNews Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again next week for the EcoNews Report.